We found the bed had been flipped, the pillow torn. These were signs of struggle, and Rook was nowhere to be seen. "Where is he?" I said. My voice sounded small. "Howl!" Dee thundered up the stairs, the floorboards trembling as he arrived in the corridor. "Lily's in your room! She's crying!" We found Lily curled up in a corner, her cheeks marked with tears. She burst into fresh sobbing when she saw me. "What happened?" I said. "It's Rook! They snatched him!" She couldn't get enough breath. "Who?" "Master Palehook and his young gentleman. Master Agrippa let him in about an hour ago." "Master Agrippa's here," I said, my blood running cold. I'd hoped he'd still be at the ball. "Yes. Soon after he came home, the men arrived. He let him in, and they went up to the servants' rooms. Master Palehook waited in the hall while his men went inside the room. Rook fought them off. I tried to help, but it all got so strange. The room went dark. They were screaming, like they couldn't get out of it. Then Master Palehook put a knife to me." She began to sob, her chest heaving. "Said he'd kill me if Rook didn't go with them. The darkness vanished, and then they knocked him senseless and took him away. I wanted to help, but they were rough with me." She covered her face with her small hand. Her wrist bore a patterned bruise, like finger marks. "Where were they going?" My head was buzzing. "I don't know," she wailed. "Where's Agrippa? God, I would make him sorry for this." "In the library, I think." Dee helped Lily off the floor and set her in a chair while the rest of us stormed downstairs. I entered the room first. We found Agrippa slumped in a chair before his fire, lost in thought. When he saw me, he leaped to his feet. We all five stood together in a half circle, blocking his exit. I pointed porridge at his chest. "What have you done with Rook?" I struggled to keep from shouting. "What in God's name are you doing here?" He didn't seem angry so much as bewildered. "What is all this?" "I ought to knock you straight into your own fireplace," Magnus growled. He stood beside me. "You don't know what she is."
"A magician?" Wolf scoffed. "You think we care about that?" "She's one of us," Lamb said.
He and Wolf went to Agrippa's other side. We were all circling him now.
"Where is Rook?"
I shouted.
"He told me it was the only way," Agrippa muttered,
the expression on his face torn between grief and terror.
"What does Palehook want with him?" Blackwood said.
Agrippa collapsed into his armchair.
"I don't know."
"You must have some idea," I said.
"I was trying to remedy my mistakes. Was that such a terrible crime?"
"It is if it harms the innocent," Blackwood said.
"I'm trying to keep her innocent. That's what's most important."
Agrippa looked like a caged animal. The doors boomed open, and Dee strode into the library, the tips of his ears flushed pink. We all scattered before him. He loomed over Agrippa, who shrank further into his seat.
"Did you let them hurt Lily?"
Dee's face turned crimson. I'd never seen him this angry. Agrippa winced, his shame evident. Dee balled his fist and walloped Agrippa across the jaw, knocking the man over the arm of his chair. Lamb instinctively moved to tend to our master, but Wolf held him back.
"Where have they taken him?"
I said, tucking porridge just beneath Agrippa's chin. He brought his hand to the already swelling right side of his face.
"I have no idea."
"We trusted you," I said.
Agrippa closed his eyes.
I wanted you to trust me. I never dreamed any of this might happen.
The sincerity of his tone nearly undid me.
This has happened. Now help us find him.
The library doors opened and the butler entered, holding a letter. He didn't seem to notice anything amiss as he threaded his way through one bewildered, heartbroken boy after another. Nor did he seem to observe that I was in the act of threatening the master of the house. He approached Agrippa's chair.
"This just came for you," he said.
Agrippa reached for the letter, but the butler handed it to me and left.
"What is it?"
I said, bewildered. The envelope bore my name and nothing else. Agrippa moved, and I pointed my stave at him again.
"I won't let you up until you help me," I snapped.
"How am I supposed to tell you what I don't know myself?"
"God save us, if he's hurt, I'll—"
"Maybe you should read your letter,"
Magnus said. He reached over to take the envelope.
"In a minute!"
"Don't move,"
I cried as Agrippa again tried to rise.
"It's rude not to read a letter addressed to you. Here, I'll open it."
"Well, it's my letter, isn't it?"
I clutched it to my chest.
"Just open the letter," Blackwood said,
struggling with a sense of urgency.
"Why is everyone so bloody interested in my letter?"
I cried, half crumpling the thing in my fist. All the boys responded with gasps and pained expressions. Wolf pulled at his hair, and Lamb reached as if to snatch it from my hands. Mystified, I tore open the envelope.
This had better be something miraculous. I screamed as Michaelmas exploded out like a malicious jack-in-the-box. He rolled across the floor, sprang up, and hobbled close to the fire.
Groaning, he rubbed his back and straightened his legs, composing a symphony of cracks and pops as he did so.
"Oh, my poor bones! Poor back! And you," he said, whirling to face me.
"The next time you get a letter, open it! Were you raised in a barn, you uncivilized snipe? It's rude!"
I cried out in joy and hugged him, which softened his anger.
"Well then, there's a good apprentice," he said, patting my back. "I forgot how compressed one feels, travelling by post."
"That is ever so much better than coming through the front door," Magnus said, watching our reunion with an amused expression.
"You,"
Michaelmas noticed Agrippa and walked toward the sorcerer.
"I want my cloak, and I want my chest, and I want them now."
"I don't have them,"
Agrippa stood and backed behind the chair.
"Come, a magician's rune cloak and an enchanted box? Those are priceless artifacts for a collector. This room holds books and paintings and tapestries enough to put the National Gallery to shame. Now, give me my things."
"Pale Hook took them when he came to collect the boy."
"Have you hidden them in the servants' quarters? Shall we turn each room upside down in a merry investigation?"
With a few muttered words, Michaelmas exploded the armchair in splintering wood and fluff. Agrippa stumbled aside.
"I tell you, Pale Hook has them."
"Mr. Hargrove, I mean Mr. Michaelmas," I said, gripping his arm. "They kidnapped Rook. If you help us get him back, we can find your things."
"How on earth did you escape?"
Agrippa said, staring at the magician with horror.
"That tower is not exactly a challenge for one as skilled as I, particularly when the guards are tired or drunk. In this case, they were both. The thrill of the chase injected some excitement
into their otherwise excruciatingly dull lives. Sadly for them, I was uncatchable.
He studied his fingernails with smug satisfaction. So that had been the shouting and running I'd heard.
I wanted to swoop in and rescue Miss Howell, he continued. But without a runic cloak, my methods of transportation were limited. Fortunately, your young charges, he said, bowing to the boys, are far more open-minded than I'd come to believe sorcerers could be.
And this explained how the boys knew what I was. You remembered the porter's circle, I said,
and told your young friends who sent a disguised Mr. Magnus in to save you, which I thought brave and ridiculous.
Well, I'm wonderful like that, said Magnus.
Just so we're clear as to what happened, Michaelmas said to me. Palehook rounded up my children. He told me that if I didn't give myself up and say those horrid things at the commendation ball, he'd kill the whole lot of the little darlings. I wasn't about to see my charges murdered. Do you understand?
Of course.
Now, my cherub, let's move on to more important things. My cloak and box and, yes, your young friend, Rook. How are they to be rescued from the vile Palehook?
He tugged at his beard and scanned the crowd of young men. He caught sight of Blackwood and bowed. The young sorcerer nodded in return, but looked uneasy.
Why did they take Rook? I said.
My Lord Blackwood, Michaelmas said, moving toward the boy. Your father was not a nice man.
I'm aware of that, Blackwood said, and we both held our breath. Michaelmas couldn't reveal his secret here.
Many years ago, when the war was young, Palehook was charged with discovering a way to create a ward to protect London from attacks. Everything he did failed, and Charles Blackwood, well, I shook my head, begging him to be discreet. He knew of my reputation. He knew I couldn't afford to be handed over to the Order, and so he captured me and forced me to help devise a system. Palehook made me do the most unspeakable things, reach across the farthest boundaries of the spirit world to find an answer.
But you found a way to do it, Wolf said. As the warding expert, this had to intrigue him.
Oh, yes. Purely by chance, we discovered the only force strong enough to protect the city. The unclean.
How? I said.
There is a spell, a powerful and very black spell that allows a magic user to drain a person's life force and use that power to increase their own. We tried draining the souls, for lack of a better word, of many people without success. We hunted the gutters, the poorhouses, searching for the lowest citizens to sacrifice. We left them lying in the alleys, certain the great machinery of London would swallow them whole.
Michaelmas stopped for a moment, struggling with the pain of the memories.
No matter how many we killed, there was not enough power. And then, one night, while wandering along the river, we came across an unclean man begging for food and drink. He'd been touched by Molochoron. It was obvious. His skin was bloated and rotted, beginning to fall off his bones.
I don't think we need any descriptions, Wolf said, wincing.
Palehook was the one who came up with the idea of using his soul.
Why not?
He was better off dead anyway.
When the unclean were murdered and their souls sucked dry, that was the only force powerful enough to allow Palehook to create the ward he needed. Something to do with the strength of the ancients, I shouldn't wonder. Funny that their poison should prove the most effective block against them.
I remembered the unclean man I had seen sitting outside Michaelmas's flat, and how he'd disappeared.
They're going to steal Rook's soul, to fortify the city.
I recalled how flimsy the ward had seemed recently, how paper thin and rotten. Pale Hope had been running out of support.
Yes, Charles Blackwood's colony in Brighton provided ready victims. He knew they would need a steady supply to refresh the ward from time to time. Wonderful man, really.
Blackwood turned to the fireplace, looking ill.
Rook's strength must have made him a tempting morsel.
Where are they now? I said, tightening my grip on porridge.
There will have to be some obsidian present, but it won't be in an obsidian room. Black arts strip the power from a holy place. I haven't worked with him in over 10 years, so I don't know where he's been going.
He spoke to Blackwood as he moved toward the fireplace. Lamb touched my arm.
I can help,
he whispered, his pale eyes shining with a hazy light.
I need something precious to Rook to make a connection. But I could see where he is.
Oh, Lamb, could you? We should go to his room and look for something to use. I'd no idea what, of course. They destroyed everything.
It needs to be precious to him. If you don't mind, Howl. I have to do this.
He gripped my hand in both of his, bowed his head, and closed his eyes. I flushed, but before I could object, something tugged at the edge of my consciousness. It felt as though I was falling backward.
Rook lay on something cold, shivering, with his hands bound on his stomach. He was disoriented, almost sick. They had given him something. A black gate was to his left, separating him from the rest of the crypt. Palehook smiled, lighting candles while he spoke to someone. They tied Rosemary in the ropes around Rook's wrists, and Palehook dipped his thumb into a small bowl and touched Rook on the forehead. It was cold, and when some of the liquid dripped onto Rook's stomach, he saw that it was blood.
Where is the moon?
I tell you, if I can't perform it quickly, the split will occur.
Lamb released me. We sank to the floor, and the others hovered around us.
Howl, are you hurt?
Magnus said, helping me to my feet.
I know where they are, I said.
Lamb lay back in Wolf's arms. Wolf stroked the boy's pale hair with a surprising amount of affection.
Where?
Magnus said. Lamb raised his hand, like we're in the schoolroom.
St. Paul's Cathedral. On Christopher Wren's grave.
Perfect. Michaelmas looked surprised.
Why didn't I think of it? It's an obsidian slab in the center of town, and underneath a dome, which gives the energy something to mold itself after.
Well done, my dear boy. Finally, a sorcerer with a useful power. He clapped Lamb on the shoulder.
We've one advantage. The moon's hidden behind the clouds, probably because of Korozov. They can't kill Rook until the sky is clear, or the power won't take. So to save your boy, we must fly. It may not be too late.
Agrippa stepped forward. He'd been so silent I'd nearly forgotten he was present.
If you do this, he cried as the boys ran from the room. The ward may snap. Korozov could destroy us all.
I might as well add, Michaelmas said, that Palehook can easily ward the entire city. He's chosen not to in order to provide his sacrificial slab with victims.
At this, Agrippa sank to his knees, all his power to persuade gone.
Thank you, I said to Agrippa, as Michaelmas followed the boys out the door.
For what?
I believed that sorcerers were England's great hope against her enemies. I believed that you were better and kinder than other men.
There was no emotion in my voice. I was beyond feeling. Thank you for teaching me not to believe in anything. I turned my back on him and went to rescue Rook.
Chapter 28. We dropped out of the sky before the steps to St. Paul's. The enormous entrance was, of course, locked.
Damn,
Magnus said as the moon appeared from behind the clouds. Above us, dark shapes skimmed the dome, leaving bright yellow streaks.
What are they doing?
Wolf said, turning in a circle as he watched them.
The ward is thin, my young friends. They're looking for a way in, but they won't find one yet.
Michaelmas cleared his throat.
What is it?
I asked.
Agrippa had a point. You realize that if we save Rook, the ward will likely fall. If you do this, you could be executed for treason.
Murmurs passed among the boys. They hadn't considered that.
I don't care, I said.
Of course not. You're attached to the boy. For my part, I'm willing to do it as a way of atonement, but the young gentleman must understand.
He turned to them.
This isn't a game. Are you prepared for what you may unleash tonight?
The boys looked at each other, wide-eyed. Even knowing what Agrippa had said, they'd not thought about this in their zeal to help Rook. Truth be told, I hadn't really thought it through myself. The idea of all those creatures descending on the people asleep in their beds left me cold. Blackwood broke the silence.
The outside's lain vulnerable for years. People have been murdered.
He caught my eye and nodded.
No one innocent life is worth more than another. Ever.
We all murmured our agreement. Every one of us felt the weight of the moment on our backs. Magnus blasted the wooden door, which opened with a splintering crack. We raced down the echoing nave toward the crypt. I slowed to run alongside a wheezing Michaelmas.
Are you all right?
I'm not in the great condition I once was. Come to think of it, I was never in the great condition I once was.
Thank you for coming back for me.
I had to. It was the only way to find my cloak and chest.
Oh.
I suppose I didn't want you to die, either. There's something I still must tell you about.
Blackwood hushed us as we entered the crypt and paced between the pillars. Voices rose and fell ahead of us. We found them by Christopher Wren's tomb. Four boys, all wearing their new sorcerer's robes, stood guard outside the gate. Hemphill was among them. They had their staves out, prepared to defend what was going on within. Inside the tomb, Palehook stood before Rook, who lay bound and gagged on the obsidian slab. He convulsed while Palehook murmured,
"The moon rounds in her virgin glow. The blood is on the stone. Both separate the body's soul from body's flesh and bone."
A white mist rose out of Rook and hovered in the air. He arched his back, caught in a torturous fit as the mist grew. Palehook leaned forward, a gleeful smile on his face.
"His life force," Michaelmas whispered.
"Stop!"
I ran forward. Hemphill whistled softly as I entered the room, my friends at my back.
"They're here, Master! First visitors we've ever had!"
The guards laughed. Palehook snarled and leaned over Rook, like a perverted version of a mother protecting her child.
"Keep them away! They have no idea what has to happen tonight."
"Let Rook go!"
I understood what I had seen. Palehook had used words in his magic.
"You can perform magician's work. You're like me, aren't you? A hybrid."
Palehook's face twisted in fury.
I'm nothing like you, girl, he growled, every word soaked in self-loathing. I'd only pollute myself with magician trickery to save this city. Do you want to sacrifice the whole of London to save your worthless little friend?
You mean the chosen parts of London, I said.
My wife and children live in those chosen parts. If you think I'll let you open them up to slaughter, you're mistaken. Stay back, he said as I took a step forward.
At Palehook's command, the four guards readied themselves for an attack.
You've received commendation, haven't you? You can't kill a fellow sorcerer now, not unless you want to join him in death.
Palehook was right. Behind me, the boys whispered to each other. They sounded concerned. I'm not commended, I said, refusing to back away.
Nor I. I'm not even a sorcerer.
Michaelmas moved out of the shadows. Palehook shrank back.
Hello, Augustus. You've only gotten bolder and uglier over the years. It suits you.
Palehook muttered something I couldn't make out. Michaelmas laughed.
Speak up, old fellow. Granted, you must be tired. Black magic does rather deplete one's energy.
Michaelmas rubbed his hands together and, with a flick of his wrist, sent a ball of white light sailing at the tomb. But none of us anticipated how fast Palehook could be. With a swift movement of his stave, he bent one of the iron bars and severed it, sending the pointed tip through the ball of light and directly into Michaelmas's side.
Damn! Damn!
Michaelmas fell, his blood pooling on the floor. He waved off the boy's attempts to help. Palehook turned to the mist hovering over Rook and inhaled deeply, smacking his lips like some grotesque vampire. His skin glowed as he took more and more.
Come on, then, Hemphill called as I frantically sought a way to the gate. If you're not commended, Miss Howell, then nothing can stop my putting a blade through your heart. I missed the last time, but I won't tonight.
Magnus roared and slammed his stave to the floor. The ground shook, throwing our opponents off balance. The battle had begun. Around me, the sorcerers dueled furiously. They summoned winds that whipped along the corridor, and the bricks beneath our feet rattled and bucked. Lamb and Wolf ran side by side, their wards activated, and smashed into one of the guards. Blackwood collected the fire from a torch and exploded it in someone's face. Dee pulled stones out of the floor and threw them. Magnus, teeth bared, dueled Hemphill with warded blades. There was a path open to the tomb. I took the opportunity and ran, setting myself on fire to keep the guards away. Palehook slammed the door in my face, but I blasted it open and entered, the blue flames rising around me as I reached for him.
Get out!
He struck me with wind. A tendril of Rook's life curled out of his open mouth like smoke. Rook lay motionless on the stone. He looked terrifyingly flat. Please, God, I couldn't be too late. Get away from him! I struggled to keep my fire from touching Rook. Palehook leaned against the wall, beads of sweat dotting his forehead. He really had weakened, and I used it to my advantage. When he tried to move in any direction, I was there. His only way out was through fire.
Stop!
He cried. But he was afraid. I could see it. If you yield, throw down your weapon! Palehook was still a moment, deciding. Then, slowly, he dropped his stave. It clattered to the floor, and he put his hands up. I stopped burning, created a warded blade, and held it to his throat. Palehook kept his chin up. He swallowed, wincing as the blade cut him slightly. Behind me, the fighting ceased. Glancing quickly over my shoulder, I saw that both sides had paused, watching us,
waiting to see who would win.
"Don't be foolish," Palehook said.
Life force puffed from his lips with each word he spoke.
"Think of what you're doing. You're condemning all of London to death."
I cut him along the cheek. He hissed in pain. "Release what you stole from Rook," I said.
"Let me finish, and I'll convince Her Majesty I was wrong about you."
Even defeated, he still tried to manipulate me.
"You'll be a sorcerer. You'll have everything you ever wanted."
"I want Rook." I slashed his other cheek, deeper than before. This time, he howled.
"You'll be the death of us all."
Blood ran down both sides of his face, like tears.
"Do you want to die?"
I didn't know if I had the heart to murder a defenseless man, even if that man was Palehook. But my threat did the trick. Glancing at my blade, Palehook shook his head. Slowly, he moved over to Rook. He gave a few huffs of breath, and the vapor spilled out of him. He guided it so that it descended back into Rook's body. Rook didn't move.
"No, it couldn't be."
"Wake up," I cried, shaking him.
"Howl,"
Magnus yelled. I shouldn't have taken my eyes off Palehook. Save in hand, he slashed at me. In my hurry to get out of the way, I slipped and dropped porridge. With that, Palehook prepared for a killing blow. The tomb's shadows pulled him into their depths. Rook had raised himself up onto one elbow. He slowly brought his extended hand into a fist. Palehook screamed as the blackness bubbled and began to spread. It might take over the entire tomb, drawing us all in. I grabbed porridge and braced myself for an attack on the encroaching gloom. And then it stopped.
"Are you hurt?"
Rook whispered. He gazed at me with concern. His eyes were black, but not wicked. The power was not in control this time.
He was.
"No," I gasped. Palehook started screaming inside the darkness, screaming fit to wake the dead. To my right, there was a stampede as his followers bolted out of the crypt, dragging Hemphill with them. It was all too much for them. That was the loyalty Palehook deserved. My friends came over to the gate to peer in at Rook. They all looked afraid.
"Never seen anything like it," Dee murmured.
"Let him out," Blackwood winced. Palehook's screams were growing more ragged and insane.
"You can't leave him there."
With a sigh, Rook closed his eyes and collapsed on the stone. The shadows dissipated, revealing Palehook, swatting wildly at the air. He shrieked before realizing that he was out of the darkness. Stumbling twice, he got to his feet. His breathing was erratic.
"Do you yield?"
I asked. But Palehook was staring at Rook.
"The darkness is alive," he muttered, shaking his head. "It speaks to you. It tells you the most horrific things."
Magnus made a sound of recognition, but he otherwise kept silent.
"Do you yield?"
I said again, growing increasingly nervous. Palehook's eyes flickered to me. He grew eerily calm.
"He's a monster," he whispered. "He must be destroyed."
"Yield now, or I'll..."
Palehook whipped his stave, knocking me aside with a sudden blast of wind. My head struck the floor, and the world spun. There was no time to stop the sorcerer as he raised his blade, aiming for Rook.
Something sliced through the gate and into Palehook, knocking him against the wall and to the floor. He didn't get up. Slowly, my head still ringing, I crawled over to him. He was dead. An iron spike lodged deep inside his neck. Blood spurted from the wound as his sightless eyes gazed at the ceiling. Through the gate, I saw Michaelmas propped up on his elbows, his arms still outstretched from sending the spike. He nodded.
"What?"
he gasped.
"The bloody hell was that shadow business?"
He collapsed. Rook coughed. I forgot everything else and went to touch his face, smooth his hair. He smiled.
"You came," he said.
"I couldn't do otherwise." I laid my head on his chest to listen to his heartbeat.
"You took control." "I had something to protect," he whispered.
His voice was not strong, his breathing thin.
"Damn."
I helped him sit up, and we faced our audience. The boys regarded us blankly.
"Oh, God."
They all knew.
"Is it?"
Lamb said, patting his chest by way of illustration.
"Because of the scars?"
"Yes,"
Rook said. His voice was so weak.
"The order must be told,"
Blackwood said. Trembling, I clutched Rook against me. He was dodging in and out of consciousness.
"He's been getting better. He controlled the darkness this time,"
I said.
"How often has this happened?"
Dee asked. Magnus caught my eye and shook his head. He wouldn't tell them.
"Not often,"
I said. My voice was shaking. "He's going to master it.
They'll kill him. Please."
I buried my face in Rook's hair.
"Say nothing. It's the greatest favor I'll ever ask."
"If Rook lives, if any of us survives the night..." No one moved or spoke until Magnus stepped into the tomb with me. He saw what this meant to me, what Rook meant to me. His nostrils flared, and he drew his stave. He was going to finish what Palehook had started.
"No!"
I gasped, but Magnus nodded and presented his stave, a sorcerer's bow.
"I swear to keep it secret."
He motioned to the others. One by one, they bowed in agreement. Blackwood was the last one. He pressed his mouth in a thin line, but he finally nodded as well.
"For your sake,"
he said.
I could have cried in relief.
There was a great boom. For a moment it seemed as if everywhere was illuminated with hot white light. My ears popped. When the light cleared, there was an instant of silence, which gave way to shouting in the streets outside.
"What happened?"
I said, pressing a hand to my ear.
"The ward has fallen."
Blackwood sounded grim as he looked to the ceiling.
"We have to go. Korozov will be heading for the heart of the city."
Feeling sick, I helped Rook off the obsidian slab. As he left it, the slab trembled and, with a great splitting crack, broke in half down the middle.
"Huh,"
Lamb said, smiling.
"It did break."
"What?" Wolf said. His confusion gave way to delight.
"Oh, the slab!
I suppose I'll be staying in London,"
Lamb said. He ran with Wolf, Blackwood, and Dee up the stairs. Magnus helped Rook stay on his feet while I knelt beside Michaelmas.
"There's nothing we can do for him," Magnus said. "Howl, we have to get you away from here."
I grasped the magician's cold hand,
His dark skin had taken on a sallow, greyish hue, and sweat beaded at his temples.
"We need to get you to a doctor," I said.
"Now? That's impossible, silly creature. Besides, Pale Hook is dead. That's enough for me." He shivered. "God, I'm cold."
"They wrap me in a blanket to keep me from struggling," Rook murmured. He moved to get it, but fell back to his knees. Magnus set him down gently and ran to the tomb. He returned with something crumpled in a ball. I unfurled it and wrapped it about Michaelmas. It was garish, red and orange and purple.
"Your cloak!"
Michaelmas buried himself in the thing.
"That's one accounted for, at least."
He slid his arms into the sleeves and wrapped himself up tight. "Time to seek out a safe place for healing." He was silent for a moment and then nodded.
"It'll take a tick. What with my weakened state." "Oh, blast!"
He grabbed me.
"There's a thing I wanted to tell you." "No time. No time. I'm such a fool."
"What?"
He pulled me down closer to him.
"Your father didn't drown."
"Excuse me?"
I gripped him by the front of his coat.
"Say that again."
"Listen to me. He didn't drown. He..."
Michaelmas disappeared. I was left holding the empty air, stunned.
"What?"
I whispered. My father hadn't drowned. Was he alive? Imprisoned? Had he been executed for murder or anything else that would force my aunts to lie to me? What was so important about it that Michaelmas needed to mention it right now? What on earth did it mean?
"Does he think that was fair?" Magnus said, astonished. His voice brought me out of my stupor.
"We can't think of that now."
This wasn't the time for distraction.
"Howl, you must want to know."
"I'll see Michaelmas again, and he'll explain. Right now, we have to run."
I forced myself up, feeling half mad. Together we raced up the stairs and through the cathedral. At the entrance, we stood agog at the sea of pandemonium. Korozov had brought every familiar he could. The grey fog shapes of his riders, the black ravens of Ontez, even the skinless warriors of Relum. They all descended out of the sky. We were at the mercy of the ancients. Chapter 29. People had come outside their houses to view the commotion. Now they raced back inside, only to have the monsters follow them, smashing windows and bashing down doors. The creatures flew through the air carrying lit torches, chattering as they set fire to building after building. Familiars snatched people from the ground. A woman in a nightdress rushed past us just as a raven swooped down, gripped her, and soared up into the air. The beast's talons ripped through the flimsy cloth, and the woman fell 30 feet. Her end was horrible. Saving Rook had been just, but these people were dying because of what I'd done. I hated myself. I hated Pale Hook for engineering this hideous situation. In a small, guilty part of my soul, I hated Michaelmas, too.
"Get ready to run,"
Magnus said, clapping Rook on the shoulder as he coughed. There was no sign of the others. We had no time to search for them.
"Don't look back."
We pushed forward on our own. Sorcerers descended out of thin air in a flurry of black silk. Some staggered about, still drunk from the ball. They made formations and created a wall of wind that drove the familiars back.
Flames licked up the sides of walls. Smoke poured out of windows. People collapsed into the street and were butchered. We stopped to send streams of water toward the fire, but the job was beyond us. "This is my fault," I whispered. Magnus grabbed my hand and squeezed it tight. We hadn't gotten far from St. Paul's when Gwen descended out of the air before us and leaped from her mount. She rolled back her smoke hood and slithered toward us on a carpet of fog.
"He wants you," she said, focusing her sewn eyes upon me. "It is the greatest honor. He has chosen you, specifically."
"Stay back," Magnus grunted. Rook groaned and fell to his knees. The rider gestured to her stag.
"You're to come with me."
Now that I knew who she was, I couldn't attack her. I held up my hand, and she stilled.
"I know your name," I said. "Please, I don't want to fight you."
I brought porridge down slowly. Her nostrils flared.
"You can turn away from all this."
"Howl," Magnus said, pulling Rook to his feet. "What are you doing?" Gwen kept listening. Desperate, I pushed on.
"It's so lonely for me, being the only one," I said.
She tilted her head to the side. She appeared to understand what I meant.
"Maybe it was that way for you, too. We're alike. I can help you, if you'll let me. We can help each other."
She licked her lips. It was a slow, thoughtful movement. Finally, she said, her voice low and normal.
"We can be alike."
She held out her hand, smiling.
"You must come with me before the Bloody King. He will make us alike."
There was no hope. I blasted at her with the wind, knocking her down. When I tried to rush by, she leaped to her feet.
"Little Lady Sorcerer,"
she rasped, snaking toward me.
"He wants you alive. He said alive, not intact."
She swung at me. I dodged and called fire into my stave, slashing it through the air. Snarling, she leaped toward me with a raised dagger. A blast of wind caught her off balance. Master Agrippa strode into view, his stave held out before him.
"Let her go!"
He stopped a few feet from the familiar, his face broken in sadness.
"Gwen, just let them go."
"Gwen," Magnus said, eyes wide. "Gwendolyn Agrippa."
"Run, all of you,"
Agrippa said as he blocked his daughter's thrust and forced her backward. Gwendolyn mounted her stag, hissing.
"Gwen, please stop. Even now, it may not be too late,"
Agrippa cried.
"You remember me? I know that you do. Please, my love, don't leave me again."
She relaxed her dagger and murmured,
"Father?"
Crying out in joy, Agrippa walked toward his child. In a move as fast and deadly as a snake striking, Gwendolyn grabbed for Agrippa's arm. He stumbled to the ground, breaking her grip. Undeterred, she dug her long fingernails into his leg, rising with her mount into the air.
"Stop!"
I shouted, grabbing on to Agrippa, firing at Gwendolyn as she rose higher into the sky. Agrippa's hand began to slip from mine.
"Hold on,"
I said as Magnus tried to ward him out of her grasp. Despite our efforts, we were losing.
"Henrietta, let go," Agrippa said.
"No."
Frantic, I placed porridge at our joined hands and murmured a quick spell I'd learned from Michaelmas. Our grip fused. It would be near impossible to break now.
"Why?" he shouted, bewildered. "Why help me?"
Because despite his betrayal, I could never really turn my back on him. My heels lifted off the ground.
I struggled not to panic. Agrippa shut his eyes and created a warded blade.
Please, forgive me, he cried.
I realized what he was about to do.
No!
I screamed. He brought the blade down and was gone, moaning as Gwendolyn flew away with him. I fell to the ground, landing on my back. He'd cut himself off at the wrist, the quickest way he could see to relinquish me. I broke the spell, dropped his hand, and stood as Magnus stared into the sky.
We could have saved him, he said,
looking pale and sick.
Why would he do that?
To protect us. Agrippa was gone. He was my betrayer, the man who'd saved my life, who'd conspired with Palehook to discredit me, who'd played chess with me before the fire. My last real words to him had been hateful ones, and my vision blurred with tears.
Please forgive me, he'd said.
Why hadn't I done it?
Howl!
Lamb and Wolf ran out of the fog. Swallowing my grief, we gathered by the side of a building and warded ourselves. Lamb inspected Rook, who was still falling in and out of consciousness.
He's not going to last much longer. Palehook took too much of his energy.
What can we do?
Fenswick's at the house. Go there.
Three of the ravens came out of the sky and dove for us. They slammed against the warded walls and screeched as they flew back up.
I've never seen an attack like this. There aren't enough sorcerers in the city for the familiars and Korozov. Wolf, can you get the ward back up?
Magnus said.
Impossible. Palehook is dead. We don't know the spell he used to consume Rook's life force. And even if we had it, we probably couldn't use it. And even if we could, we wouldn't.
Wolf muttered.
The only thing I can think of at this point is to kill Korozov.
We waited for Magnus to stop laughing.
Most of the familiars are his. Without him, they'd be like a colony of ants, without a queen.
It's impossible, Magnus said. I had an idea, a wild and stupid one.
There might be a way to destroy him. Get the rest of the boys and find us. Do you know where Korozov is?
He's coming from the west. Wolf said.
He should be leaving the river by now.
First, we need to deliver Rook to Fenswick back at the house. Then, we'll all go off to face him together.
Yes, but what will we do?
Lamb said.
Something you've tried before. It failed, but with me, it might work.
You should leave, Magnus said as Lamb and Wolf ran to get the others. He placed his hand on my back.
This is the perfect time to escape.
I can't leave, not now. Ahead of us, we spied an empty wagon with a horse harnessed in, the beast struggling to loose itself from the post where it had been tied. Magnus freed the creature while Rook and I settled into the back. Magnus jumped into the driver's seat and took the reins, and we were off, fighting our way through the chaos. We continued into a cleared area, away from the attacks. But people started running in the opposite direction from where we were headed. To the left of us, the street lamps all guttered out. The blackness and silence became oppressive.
Turn right!
I screamed as Korozov swept into the square, quiet as shadow and fog when it wanted to be. The horse sensed the monster's approach and reared, pawing at the air before falling over in terror. The wagon snapped and the bottom fell, throwing Rook and me to the ground. Rook screamed and turned his face up to the monstrous thing. Korozov stopped, perhaps sensing one of its children, crying out to it. I pulled Rook to the ground, wrestling him into submission. It wasn't difficult. He gasped and wheezed. He couldn't continue like this much longer. Magnus leaped from the driver's seat and flew into the air.
Howl, get out of here, he called.
Where could I go? It wouldn't be possible for Rook to drag himself much farther. Footsteps sounded and Blackwood appeared out of the night, the rest of the boys behind him. He pulled me to my feet and checked to see if I was hurt, then examined Rook. While the others assembled, he activated his stave.
"What's your plan?" Blackwood asked.
"I have to get Rook home first."
"There's no time for that now. We have to attack here, or we'll all die."
"Make a formation, me at the center. We can manage with six. Using my fire, build a net and bind him. It may be strong enough. Magnus, come back down."
"I'm a touch busy at the moment," he shouted.
Blackwood organized the boys while Magnus returned to Earth, dodging Korozov. We stepped into formation. The fire rippled on my skin. The others spun their staves together, weaving a great net. I felt the energy flowing from me and into them. It was a strange sensation, like someone stealing the air from my lungs. Once everyone had a light, we spread out. Porridge grew warmer in my hand the faster I spun. Finally, we ran forward and propelled our great net of flame. It arched upward, so impossibly high that it went over Korozov's head and pinned him to the earth. The enormous fiend bellowed and thrashed, tentacles straining against the fire. We all ran to different sides, keeping the beast down.
"I think we've got him,"
Dee yelled, waving to me. But with the sound of snapping wood, the monster burst through the net, its tentacles waving and its hideous shadow mouth open in a triumphant call. We rushed to regroup.
"It's too strong," Blackwood said grimly. "It can't be stopped."
A tentacle came out of the darkness and nearly slammed on top of me. Magnus pulled us to the side.
"Are you all right?" he shouted.
"Yes. We have to turn back." We tried to protect one another as we moved down the street.
"I'm not running," Magnus said, warding a blade as the tentacle began to slither away.
With a great cry, he leaped into the air and brought the blade down, severing the thing. Half of it went flopping along the street like a landed eel. Korozov screamed as foul, black fluid erupted out of its stump, coating Magnus, who, blinded, tried to get away. Another tentacle walloped him off to one side. He rolled a few times and lay there.
"Let me go!"
I shouted as Blackwood wrapped an arm around my waist. Korozov moved toward Magnus, prepared to absorb him. Rook appeared beside me. He bled and sweated so badly that his clothes clung to his body. His eyes were black, but I could see that he was in control. Cupping my face in his hand, he whispered,
"All will be well, Nettie."
His breathing was a slow wheeze.
"Stay here,"
I gasped, clutching at him. He stumbled toward the monster with his arms above his head, calling in that terrible, screeching voice. Korozov stopped a mere foot from Magnus and paused, as if determining the best course of action. Rook called the shadow to him. Korozov bellowed in surprise as Rook began to summon wisps and tendrils of its own body. Cloaked in the monster's darkness, he yanked at the beast. Korozov turned away from us, inch by inch. Rook was actually pulling it after him. He dodged the tentacles twice. His luck couldn't last, though. With a grumbling cry, the monster finally struck him down and held him while he thrashed and screamed. Blackwood put a hand to my mouth to stop my shrieking. I bit at him in an attempt to free myself. Finally, the monster released Rook. He lay on the ground like a broken toy. His arms and legs at strange angles. He wasn't moving. I screamed as Korozov inched toward him, fighting free from Blackwood. I grabbed Wolf's arm.
"If I give you a light,
Can you manage the rest of the net?
What?
Yes, of course!